Hey everyone, welcome back to the Swears and Does Hair podcast. I am your host, Sue Minsky, and today I have a business coach for the wedding industry, Brandi Garr, and she is coming on here today to kind of talk about what predictions she has and what she's been seeing with the wedding industry as a whole in the last few years and what we can look forward to coming up in 2024 and 2025. So Brandi, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I'm really excited to interview you on this topic because I know that a lot of people, particularly in our side of the industry and like hair and makeup, aren't quite seeing the same numbers that they have in years past, coming off of how the wedding industry has changed and shifted so much after the pandemic. And, you know, all the wrenches that that kind of threw in things and us kind of coming back from all of that and trying to normalize the industry again. So I'm really excited to have you talk about the wedding industry as a whole, because sometimes in hair and makeup, we only see a small part of it. Yeah. So thank you for being on. I would love if you could take a few seconds to just kind of introduce yourself to the audience if they're not familiar with who you are yet.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Sue, thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this topic. So we're going to have some fun today. But I started as a wedding planner. I'm still a wedding planner. So I own one of the largest planning firms in Orlando, Florida for the last 16 years. And I've been a business coach for the last 3. And when I started coaching, you know, I really wanted to think, what is it that I want to make an impact in the wedding industry? It was so important to me that I help other wedding pros with what I struggled with the most. Like, how did I get to a place where I now have a multi six-figure business, a team, and I spend weekends with my family, that I'm not out, you know, on the field anymore, and I still take a full-time salary for my business? And so many people wanted to understand, how do you do that? How do you get out of the day-to-day? Uh-huh. And so when I started really thinking about what I wanted to teach, I knew I didn't want to teach wedding planners how to be wedding planners. I was like, there's so many coaches out there for that. But what I was really passionate about is that I got to a point in my business about 8 years in where from the outside, it looked so successful because we were successful, right? Like we had hundreds of weddings a year. We were preferred at every venue. It was wonderful. On the inside, I was like melting down. Like, I just thought, I don't know how long I can run at this pace because I never slept, right? We were working 80-hour weeks. It's like we all do.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this can't be the rest of my life. Like, this doesn't feel like success. So how do I get any bigger from here? How do you keep scaling? And so I sought out the help of some business mentors, blew my whole company up, restructured the whole thing from the inside out. And now it runs genuinely without me. And that is such an incredible feeling. And so my passion is teaching other wedding pros how to have a business that can scale past you, that has profit, consistent profit, can pay you a salary, and that you really love because it supports the life that you love. So that's what I'm passionate about. I work with all wedding pros. So I'm very familiar with the hair and makeup space as well, more from a business perspective than how to do hair and makeup. That is not my gift. But I work with all types of wedding pros, all on how to build that profitable business.
Yeah, I think you hit on something that I see a lot of people in the hair and makeup industry go through as well, with that kind of like, everything looks super successful from the outside, but we're melting down inside. Yeah. You know, everybody, when they first start out, you know, their goal is as much as possible. And they want these high wedding numbers and these high income goals. And they're like, yes, this is what is achievable. Particularly, I think in the hair and makeup, it becomes such a motivator for a lot of us, because so many times we hear on the wedding day, is this your full-time job? What else do you do? And it's like, no, this is what I fucking do. This is my job. And so we feel this motivation, like, I have to book so many weddings and I have to be busy every weekend or I'm a failure, and I have to hit these income goals or I'm a failure. And this isn't a real job unless I'm so busy. And then they kind of hit a point a few years in where they're like, oh, wait a second, this is not sustainable. I don't remember the last time I went out with friends on a Friday night, like this past Friday night, I was just out with some friends and they were all hair and makeup people, but we've all hit around between 10 to 15 or more years. Yeah. And we never go out on Friday nights. Like we got together this particular Friday night because it was a January and yeah. one of our friends is moving out of the okay. area. So it was like a going away thing. And we were all sitting around there looking at each other with our drinks like, wow, this is what other people do. Like they have a Friday night. They have a life. When is the last time that any of us have done that? And mm-hmm. it kind of makes you take a step back and reevaluate. And I think that was a lot of things that motivated me becoming a coach for the wedding industry is mm-hmm. to be like, hey, it's great to be busy. It's great to make income goals, but you have to find the balance. Mm-hmm. And like my motto of, you know, 2024 is simplicity and yeah. sustainability and like taking a step back and really finding what drives us as an industry and how mm-hmm. can we have a life still and how can we have a balance? It's not about how much we work or how much we make. That's not necessarily the success factor that we think it's going to be.
No, it's not. And, you know, it is so interesting to hear you say like, oh, is this what normal people do on a Friday? You know, for me, I don't know why, but for me, it was like the farmer's market. I would see people going to the farmer's market on a Saturday when I was leaving for work. I knew I'd be gone the entire day mm-hmm. and I'd be fried the next day. And I just always thought to myself, what's it like to be able to go to the farmer's market on a Saturday morning? Like, what's that yes. like? And now, I mean, sometimes my kids will be like, can we go to the farmer's market? I'm like, I don't want to go to the farmer's market. I just want to sit around. But every time we go, every single time we go to the farmer's market in our city, it always strikes me like I dreamed of this. I dreamed of being mm-hmm. able to do this on a Saturday while our team was executing weddings. And it's so possible. I just think our industry glamorizes overwhelmed and burnt out. It makes me crazy. It's a badge of honor that the mm-hmm. most exhausted person at a networking event must be the most successful. Yeah. And it's just simply not the case.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the farmer's market because that to me was another thing that when I retired from doing weddings last year. So now I'm just a business coach. A couple of days during the week, I'll do hair and makeup for photographers and things like that. Fun. But I don't do weddings anymore unless I'm assisting my best friend. If she has like a last minute wedding where they like suddenly now like everybody and their mama wants their hair and makeup done, she'll be like, hey, in 3 weeks or you have something, can you come? But other than that, like I have my Saturdays and my Sundays, and there used to be this one farmer's market right at this big intersection. And I would drive past it all the time on Saturdays on my way to weddings. And I would always just like look forlornly off to the, you know, like you're driving down the road and you're like, oh,
that looks so wonderful.
You'll be all packed up by the time I'm done. And then I would like drive straight to a McDonald's and I would shove my face full of, you know, this super unhealthy food. Yeah, and then I wondered why like 40 hit me like a truck. And I was just like, what happened? Maybe for the last 16 years, I have been, you know, not getting my fresh fruits and vegetables from the farmer's market. And I've been shoveling all of this, you know, unhealthy fast food. And I haven't been taking the time for myself to walk regularly or stretch or exercise and carrying this heavy kit. And I've been wearing it as a badge of honor that, mm-hmm. you know, ooh, I make six figures and ooh, I do this and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, until you can't anymore.
Yeah.
And now this past year that I've been off, like I'll get up on a Sunday morning. The one right down the street from my house is on Sundays.
Okay.
And so I'll go down on a Sunday morning with my husband and we just walk around. And there's this one like purple juice lady. Like, I don't know what the heck is in this purple juice, but it's like spicy something. I don't know. It's delicious. And I get my purple juice and then we walk around and we're like, what are we going to get this week? Like, let's go see the cow farmer guy and just be like, what kind of beef cuts do you have this week?
Yeah.
Are we having steak? Are we having ground beef this week? And it's been this really weird thing to kind of sit back and be like, oh, other people get to do this. Like my sister gets to do this because she's got like a 9-to-5 job. And my other sister, she's not really into the farmer's market thing, but if she wanted to, she could. And I'm like, wow, this is really like what I've been missing out so much. It's been cool to like take a vacation kind of,
yeah,
quote unquote, yep, what I want. And my family is like, well, it must be nice to run your own business and be able to go on vacation whenever you want. And I'm like, it doesn't really work like that. But, you know, like if I'm not working, I'm not getting paid. So it's not the same thing. You get two weeks, but you still get paid for that. But now that I have like this free time, I'm like, oh, this is really what I've been missing out on. So as far as how the industry has kind of changed and shifted since the pandemic, I've heard you speak on before, like the wedding dip, the engagement dip. And for anybody who is not familiar with that, can you kind of run us through what that really is and how it's impacted the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So last year, we kind of coined the term engagement gap. And basically what that means is that Signet Jewelers, who's one of the largest jewelry manufacturers in the world, distributors in the world, actually has tracked data of dating history and just all kinds of data points on relationships for decades. This is not new. And they've tracked this data. And what they've come to learn is that the average couple is engaged, not engaged, dating for 3.25 years. So just over 3 years, the average couple is dating. Why is that important to them? Why do they track this? Because obviously for engagement ring sales, right? They want to know, okay, how are our sales going to go this year? And so what happened 3.25 years ago? Well, the world was shut down, right? So in 2020, starting in March, the U.S. at least, that's when it started hitting the U.S. of these shutdowns. And then depending on what state you're in, it depended how long you were shut down, right? So I'm in Florida, you know, say what you will, we weren't shut that long. Yes. But we really, really felt this engagement gap here over the summer and into the early fall. And it was so interesting to have read the data and see that it was coming and then actually like watch it play out. And then it picked right back up. So basically what that means is that in 2020, when the world was shut down, people couldn't, you could meet online, right? On Hinge or Tinder, but you certainly couldn't meet up in person. You weren't going to bars or concerts or school to be able to meet people. And so there weren't these relationships starting. And so now it's caused this delay in engagement. So there for a while, and some states are still feeling it, we have what's called the engagement gap. And so what that's causing is you hear so many wedding pros, and Sue, you and I were talking about this before the show, that are saying, I'm freaking out about 2024 because I don't have as many bookings on the calendar going into the year as I normally have. And what I love about this is that I can show you clear data to tell you why that's happening because of this engagement gap. And so the nice thing about it is that we know why it's happening. So that gap is really affecting the end of 2023, which is when you're booking most of your 2024 weddings, right? So it makes sense that you don't have as many bookings on the calendar. But the exciting part is that once your state opened back up, people were so sick of being locked up at home that they were single and ready to mingle. They got out, they got, and they met new friends, partners, whatever. And so we're seeing a huge engagement boom this year. They're expecting 2.5 million engagements this year, which is significant. And so how I see that playing out over 2024 and 2025 is that I think that we're going to have a lot of much shorter term bookings. I think we're going to see engagements and people are going to be like, I'm just ready. Like I'm ready to get married already. Yep. So we're going to see a lot of shorter term bookings. We're going to see, I think 2025 is going to be one of the biggest years we've ever had in recent history because of this engagement boom. So we're going to have a significant 2025 and honestly, even into 2026. I also think because of the economy and because it's an election year, we're going to see a lot of people who may be on the front end when they book you are booking a smaller tier package just to secure you for the date. And then they may upgrade as you go. So if you're a wedding pro who has options to upgrade once they're booked, I really, really, really would work on putting those in front of your already booked clients. Like how can they upgrade your service throughout the year? Because they think they're going to save money when they book. So they're all like, we're going to be frugal with our wedding. And then they start to realize, this is the day I've dreamed of, you know, for my whole life. I might as well just add that on. I might as well just add that on. So we're going to see a lot of that happening as well. So if you have upgrade services, that's something I would be really mindful of too.
Yeah, that's really fascinating that you say that because I think a lot of people are feeling like the pinch and whatnot and second guessing their rates and their prices. And they're like, I don't have as many booked. And a lot of people that I've been having conversations with, they're really worried about, they raise their rates in the fall. Yep. And they'll be like, book me before the end of November to secure the 2023 rates for 2024, which is like not what I coach to at all. I'm like, you're doing yourself such a fucking disservice. Like, please don't increase your rates like that. Have a threshold. I recommend it's like every 25% of your goal for the following year, have a small rate increase. So you're consistently filling your calendar and filling the next 25% at a higher rate. And then it's never a question of, I just rose my rates and now it's crickets. And then, you know, it goes into like holiday season and people are getting engaged, but they're not busy planning at that point.
They're not ready to book yet.
They're busy with their friends and their family. And then January hits and then it kind of comes out more force. So I know a lot of people have been like, oh, I just raised my rates and they're freaking out about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not necessarily the economy, because guess what? People get married in every freaking economy. You maybe have to get a little bit more creative. And I love what you're talking about with like the upgraded experience and the opportunity to upsell them later on in the process. And I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to be running into the situation of the bridesmaids and the bridal party didn't necessarily want hair and makeup done before, and the bride booked at the minimum. Now here it's going to get to like a month or two before the wedding and they're scrambling. So I think that particularly in our niche of the industry, people really have to be cognizant of that and have a system in place for, you know, getting the information that they need when they need it and making sure that they're able to upgrade them and everything like that. So it'll be interesting to see how that side of things go. But I predict, my prediction here is that there are going to be a lot of last minute add-ons where people are like, no, I do want to add this on. I already have them. And if people don't have a system in place for maintaining that and managing that, then they're going to really screw themselves out of a lot of dollars this year.
Yeah. And I think what's important too is that we think that our couples know this stuff, right? Like we think like, well, they should know that they only signed up for themselves and their mom. And now, you know, they need to add on six bridesmaids. But to mitigate that, I'm telling you, this is going to happen. Like I was in business in 2008 during the Great Recession, which makes me sound like a dinosaur, but it happened then as well. And what happens is, you know, those pocketbooks are being pinched because, you know, parents are looking at their investment accounts and thinking like, hey, we don't have as much money for the wedding as we thought we were going to. But then it becomes, but it's my little girl's only wedding, or, you know, it's my only wedding. And so we're going to pitch in too. And they start to add on all of these things. So how you can mitigate that from having them do it a week before is to put automations in place, like put an email funnel in place for your clients. So often we think about email marketing for getting new clients. And that's great. Mm-hmm. But being able to serve your existing clients through an automation so that you're not constantly overwhelmed by it would be so great. So for our hair and makeup artists, I would love to see you throughout the process reminding them of different things they can do with their skincare and things like that, right? To have a great prep for their wedding day. But also to be reminding them, hey, don't forget that you know, we need to make sure that we have your final count by this date. If you want to add on, you know, bridal party, you could even offer some sort of a discount if they book by a certain time, right? Or offer some sort of an upgrade, like we'll give you free lashes if three of your bridesmaids book, or I don't know. But you want to put that all out in front of them so that they're thinking about it. Otherwise, they're going to forget until the week before the wedding. And all of a sudden, all their bridesmaids are like, what about us? They don't have it booked.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is really important with the emails and the automation. And that's one of the things that like I coach to in my program, Next Level Bridal Business, is the whole workflow. There's like seven big long lessons in that module of like each stage of the process. I break down from first inquiry until the follow-up after the wedding day. There are seven unique stages that you go through in that booking process, and what needs to be priority, what you should be focusing on, what type of communication should you be having with them, what type of information should you be getting from them to really make sure that your workflow is as smooth as possible. So you're not missing out on opportunities and you're not just like, okay, they booked me 9 months ago and maybe we've exchanged a few emails since they signed that contract. And now here it is 45 days or 30 days before the wedding. And I'm following back up with them and I'm touching back base with them and being like, hey, you know, this is what I need from you now. And then the bride's like, yeah. And everybody else. Everybody else needs something from me right now too. So you can wait and I'll get to you. And then the artist is left scrambling going, well, now they want to add on services, but now they've changed the time of photos or now they can't get into their venue and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, they've never done this before. If they have somebody like you, that's a wedding planner, they can walk them through the process and be like, this is what you need to do at these times. A lot of people don't do that. They don't invest in a wedding planner and they follow shitty advice from the Knot and Wedding Wire, from articles from people who have never been married before or don't work in the wedding industry and don't know how this actually works. And they're doing a lot of it on their own. And so if you're leaving everything up to the bride, she doesn't know. There's only so many TikToks that she can watch about how to plan your perfect dream wedding. Like, she's not going to know these details. We really have to separate ourselves from the salons and the Sephora counters where people can just go to get physical services done and set ourselves apart as like, we are the professional. We do this day in, day out, all the time. We know the things that need to happen. It's our job to make sure that it happens when it's supposed to.
100%.
So when it comes to things for 2025, do you see... there being as many weddings. It's interesting that the predictions are that we're going to have more, one of the you know, bigger years than we've seen. So is that like more than 2022 from like all of those reschedules and delays and everything like that kind of got all lumped together in one year? Or is this like a bigger influx of new for 2025?
Well, that's the thing. I think that we will, you know, 2022 was unprecedented because we had so many postponements, right? So what people don't understand about 2022, unless you're in the industry and you felt it, right? We all felt it, was that we had more weddings than we'd ever had before, but less revenue because a lot of those weddings were paid for in 2021. Exactly. So then they got postponed and we had to deal with them and pay staff to execute them in 2022, but we weren't getting any additional payments, or maybe we were just getting their final payment. So I actually think 2022 was probably the busiest we'll ever be, but honestly, the least profitable that we'll ever be. What I think is going to be really interesting about 2025 is, one, we've got this engagement boom at play, which is playing out currently. It's literally playing out depending on your state. Count forward 3.25 years and you'll see it pop in your state. But what I also think is going to happen is that, you know, it's an election year. We have a party that's in-house that wants to get in-house again. And there is no way that our economy is going to look like what it is right now before that election. So I think we're going to see a really great economy all of a sudden spark up, and we're going to start to see people with more money in their pockets, because that's how people get elected, is by making people feel like they're wealthy again. And so we are going to see that play out with people saying, okay, we're ready to get married now. We're ready to spend the money. We're ready to do it, right? And so between the engagement boom happening and then the economy is going to come back up, the housing markets, we're already seeing it in the housing market, that the housing market's coming back, right? I think it's going to create a very, very profitable 2025 if your business is set up correctly, that you're pricing correctly, that you've got a team that can handle the influx. One of the things that happened to us in 2022 is a lot of people got caught with their pants down, right? Like 2021, you lay people off, or you get rid of your team because there wasn't a lot of income coming in. And then all of a sudden, 2022, you've got so many inquiries, you can't get back to people, you can't staff up enough. So I would say, be really mindful of watching your inquiries come in. Be really mindful of trying to plan ahead for what's coming so that you can take as much of it as possible. And it isn't just like this spike and then a drop again, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. So many people were really struggling to find other people, even if like artists don't necessarily run teams, because not every hair and makeup person has a full team of people. They still need additional hands when they have larger bridal parties. And it went from like having no weddings to suddenly people were having like 12, 13, 15. I've been in weddings for 17 years now. Mm-hmm. I've never seen such large bridal parties.
It's crazy.
As the last several years where yeah. it's like, you sat in your house for how long? Like, how do you know so many people?
How do you still have this many friends?
It's been weird. It's felt like they're just growing and growing. And I don't know if it's just more mainstream that people all get hair and makeup done, or if it's this level of expectation now or what. So a lot of the complaints and struggles that I saw people going through in 2022 and even parts of 2023 was finding reliable artists to come and help them on weddings. And again, that's another one of the reasons why I have such a huge portion of my course that talks about networking and building up a system, not just for referrals, but also like if you don't want to run a team, you don't have to run a team, but you really do need to make friends. Like you cannot have this competitive mindset in our industry these days. It is not the way of the snooty salon anymore, where everybody's out to get their own clients and kind of crawling over each other for the profits. You have to be able to go out there and network and make friends and be able to call on people. I think that's just really the way that it has to kind of be in the wedding industry, is that you can't be so much about competition. You really have to be about collaboration, or you're going to find yourself in these types of situations.
Yeah. I mean, 2020 for me, we used to have only a full-time staff and we had a large full-time staff. 2020 taught me that, you know, we really needed to figure out how can we not have such a large full-time staff and execute the same number of weddings? Like, how can we really make this more strategic? And so for us, we started an associate planner program. So it's very, very similar to what you're talking about, but we only have 4 full-time staff. And then my husband and I, so 6 total, but 4 full-time staff, and they're all over a department of our business. But everyone else in our business is an associate planner who owns their own business. And we source weddings out to them and through them. And that has been really, really great because, you know, a lot of really amazing, talented people own their own business, but realize I'm really good at what I do, but I'm terrible at the business side, or I just don't like it. You know, like I don't like marketing myself. I don't like networking. And so for us being able to feed that business to them, they're excellent at their craft. So it's great because we can feed that business to them. And when we have business, we give it to them. And when we don't feel like we have this overhead that we have to have. So I do still think it's really important to have, you know, some type of a strategic internal team that can help you run the day to day. But for the most part, I mean, I love the idea that, I mean, hair and makeup artists have been doing this forever. You know, planners are just now getting on that bandwagon of like, wait a second, we can just have help, you know, when season permits. So it's really good.
Well, do you have any other predictions for what you think the wedding industry can kind of expect this year, see coming at us? Do you think there's anything we need to avoid or worry about, or?
No, not necessarily. I think one of the things that we don't realize, or maybe you're just starting to hear rumblings of it, is we've been talking about millennials for so freaking long at this point that Gen Z is in the marketplace, y'all. I know it seems like, wait, they're still babies. They're not babies. They're like 26, 27 years old. They are in the marketplace, and they're just such a different generation. I honestly think they're a breath of fresh air from millennials, to be honest, but they, not to make any millennials angry that are out there, okay? But I think you're great too. But this Gen Z generation, you know, social media is a big deal to them. I think if you're not on TikTok, you're missing a lot of business. I think you're missing a lot of visibility. So I think being on outreach apps like TikTok and then having a way for people to be able to DM you. I know so many wedding pros that hate this. They're like, you know, it'll say even right in their profile, do not DM for inquiries. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're missing out on so much business. I think being more flexible in your workflows, being more flexible in creating warm, quick connections. People that are coming up into the industry now that are coming up as buyers want quick answers. They want to know if you're the pro for them. They've already vetted you by following you for a while. So I really think be mindful of being super visible online and offer those different avenues for people to reach out to you. We even offer text chats, which has been super popular. So right on our website, it says, you know, if you want to inquire by text, just click here and they can click, they text with us. We close people in a text all the time. And it's really kind of crazy, but it's so much faster for us. And it's great because I can be like in car line and do a consult with a text. Uh-huh. And they love it. Our clients love it. So I just think I would say be more flexible about the ways that you create those avenues and not just say like, you must go through my contact form and you must fill out all 12 fields and then you're going to get 8 workflows. Like, that's great. You should have that set up for the people that want to go that route. I would say out of 30 inquiries we get a month, we maybe have 5 that go through our contact form. And I think that's a stretch at this point because we've just offered so many different ways for them to contact us. So yeah, I would say be flexible.
Interesting. Yeah, I do see, because I have, you know, teenagers and they're technically they're Gen Z, and my sister's kids are all in their early 20s. So, you know, 2 of them are already married. I do see a big generational difference between where I am as, you know, a geriatric millennial or whatever the hell 40 is called right now. Things are different. Like my age group, we were some of the first homes to have computers and my children and my sister's children, like, they've always had computers in the household. My kids got
iPhones.
Cell phone. Yes, my kids got cell phones.
Yes.
You know, when they turned, I think like 10, you know, they each got their own first cell phone, and the way that they communicate and even just like language that they use sometimes, I'm like, I'm not 90, I'm only 40. Why can't I understand the words that are coming out of your mouth? You know, like,
I mean, I think to even like, they hate email because they think it's just all junk mail, which to be honest, a lot of it is.
Most
right.
It is. Yeah.
So being able to text, I mean, I literally was just on one of my mastermind calls before this and I was pushing my students. I'm like, I know some of you don't want to text, but I'm telling you, it's part of our process. We ask right in the beginning, is it okay if we text you? We always want to ask, right? We don't want to break that barrier. 99% of them say yes. It's almost never that they say no. And we can shoot a quick text. We get so much quicker of a response that way. Mm-hmm. We get to create a warm relationship very, very quickly. You can voice memo. It's just a different generation. And they email to them is so foreign. I mean, they even email like a text. So yeah, I would just say be more flexible. You know, we encourage people to DM us on Instagram. We're like, hey, if you want to inquire, DM us on Instagram. It's a simple way to create a quick connection with a very fast close.
And I've seen with the evolution of AI, some really amazing opportunities to level up our communication with this new generation. Like the last couple of months, I've really been playing with ManyChat a lot. And I'm like, this is gold. I'm still working through, you know, my systems and whatnot that I'm putting together to educate, you know, other people on, hey, here's how to take ManyChat and here's how to use it for our part of the industry and to kind of go through things like that. Because I've always been very anti-text for a very, very long time. So it's really interesting that you're like, text people, because my brain is kind of like, I don't love it, but I know at the same time, it's like, I need to be flexible and I need to understand how there are shifts in the marketplace. What solution can we find to help us do that, to avoid the pitfalls of why I've always said, don't text.
Don't text.
You know, I've always thought that with texting, there's less boundaries because people expect faster responses from you, and there's less work-life boundary. There's also, it's a little bit more on the friend zone versus professional relationship. You know, there's one person who's very anti-text too, that's in the makeup community, and she's always like, you don't text your doctor. You're, you know, don't text your client.
Do you know that I do actually? Both my dentist and my doctor offer texting. And I tell you, I will never, unless we literally move across the country, I will never leave them, because I can shoot a quick text over and say, hey, I need an appointment for my daughter. This is what's going on. Or I need a prescription refilled. It's instant. They literally reply right back. And why would anyone want to have to pick up the phone and wait on hold and go through a receptionist and it's so frustrating. I'm like, I can send a text, go about my business. They'll text me back when they have a second. I think it's coming more and more to the marketplace.
Yeah.
ManyChat, you mentioned ManyChat. I'm obsessed with ManyChat.
Yes, I've become very obsessed in the last few
weeks. It's amazing. Yes, because it has so much potential to help you to manage your DMs. I did an episode on my podcast, episode 212 on the Wedding Pro CEO podcast. Okay. I walked through exactly how to use it. And we also have a demonstration on our YouTube channel, the episode 212, showing you exactly how to set it up. Mm-hmm. And how to use it for wedding pros, like how you can use it to get people to inquire with you, to book a consult with you. Mm-hmm. And I think the more flexible you are, the more chance you're going to have of booking these bookings and in a shorter time frame. One of the things that we did is I actually have I have our lead phone right now. So we just went and got like an old cell phone. Actually, I think it was one of my daughter's cell phones. Okay. And we set it up on the leased plan where we needed to. So it's $35 a month. We added a line. And this is the phone that gets, we text from for all of our clients, that this is the phone number they call if they need something. And so it makes it really, really simple for us to not, they don't have my personal cell phone number. And that phone stays on my desk. Like I don't need to, you know, have it with me at night or, you know, when you're out on vacation or whatever, that can stay back. So there's lots of ways around it to set those boundaries, but it's coming.
Yeah. I recommend people to use Google Voice.
Yeah. A lot of people use Google Voice.
For my salon clients and those kinds of things, I still allow text communications and text bookings and things like that. But I always did everything through Google Voice. And so that way I could turn it off. I can mute that, turn off notifications. I have the do not disturb between these hours and these hours. It's just finding the right systems that are going to help you to avoid these problems. And there's new apps and new technologies and new systems and stuff like that coming out, I think, every day to bring it forward and to make that easier for people to do.
100%. Yeah. So I'm really excited about what's coming.
Me too. I'm excited to see where the industry goes, even though I'm not in it, so to speak, the same way that I was before. It's really fascinating, especially like the older my kids get and the closer they get to adulthood, the more of like an insight I think I feel like I'm seeing on, all right, this is what the next generation is going to be like. This is what they're going to expect in 10 years from now. You know, when my kids are in their late 20s and they're getting married, all right, this is going to be that expectation of what the wedding planning process is going to be like. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. You said you have a podcast. If you want to share that with people where they can also go and listen to you and where they can follow you on Instagram, I'll drop links in the show notes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everything like that, where people can go ahead and they can check you out. And then in the description box on YouTube. But if you want to just kind of verbally let everybody know where they can find you.
Yes. So I have the Wedding Pro CEO podcast, and we publish new episodes every single week. You can find us on anywhere you listen to podcasts, but also on YouTube. And we actually do video behind the scenes tutorials and things like that all on our YouTube channel. I would go listen to episode 212 if you're interested in learning more about how to use ManyChat. It is coming. It's going to be massive in the industry. But I would also suggest listening to episode 179. We did a three-part series on how to make more money in the wedding industry. So episode 179, I'll send those links over to you, Sue, so you can drop them in. But those are great episodes to go listen to. And you can chat me anytime on Instagram. I'm at Brandy Gar.
Thank you so much again for joining me today, Brandy. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in for today's episode. I will see you guys back next time.